Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Howdy, Phil.
Hi.
Howdy. Howdy.
That's awesome. Is that Hebrew?
No, I think it's more Western Texas. Howdy there, partner.
That's from the Southern Kingdom.
That's from the Southern Kingdom.
Shalom, y'all.
Howdy, y'all, dude.
Anyway.
That's from that cowboy church you met up with in
that
France.
That cowboy church. Yes. A big shout out to the cowboy church. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I met like three people from a thing called Cowboy Church in the middle of Paris. I don't remember all the details now, but it was a little bit odd.
They were from Texas.
They were from Texas. Yeah, and they were there like recruiting French cowboys or something. But anyway, it was all for the kingdom.
Exactly. There's even cowboys in the kingdom.
The kingdom's a big place.
It's a big place.
Yeah. Woo. Well, anyway. So here we are again. Another whole week's gone by, and we're back again. Jeez. Time goes so fast.
It does.
So last week we did a show about Christ the King. And now today's actually, in most Christian traditions, or in many Christian traditions, today's the first Sunday of Advent.
Advent?
Yeah, Advent.
Advent.
Why don't you explain to the folks what that is?
Well, I wasn't expecting that question.
we'll get back to you on that.
Can I look that up? No, Advent, the season of Advent, is where in the church we look towards the second coming of Christ. We remember the first coming of Jesus, the Messiah, and we reflect upon the readings that tell the story, from the prophet Isaiah and stuff like that, where there's going to be this baby born of a virgin. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be ruler of the house of David in the kingdom of Israel. Mm-hmm. But we also reflect and anticipate the second coming of Christ, mm-hmm. where just as John the Baptist, went out in the wilderness and said, make straight a path for him, prepare your heart, prepare your home. We too should have that expectation of the coming of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And being prepared, preparing our heart, preparing our home, that we welcome such a guest as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. We're in the second Advent.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. So Advent's a more or less a twofold season where there's it's one of being reflective, but it's also should be one of great anticipation. Mm-hmm. The second coming of the Messiah. Mm-hmm.
The first Advent was very, very long. It actually went from the Garden of Eden until Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. The second Advent has, been 2,000 years already.
Right.
In fact, many of those early writers thought that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. John and Paul and said, coming back any minute now, so we better get ready. And that was almost 2,000 years ago. So, the book of Hebrews says the last days, we've been in the last days since then. So the second Advent's been pretty long too, but the first Advent was very, very long.
Well, and we also start with the, there's in the lectionary cycle of readings that the Catholic Church uses and a lot of mainline Protestant non-denominational churches use, each Sunday, we start off with a reading from Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
A major prophet.
How many books did he have?
Yeah, 66 chapters.
66 chapters, wow.
He was busy.
Yeah. He wasn't a minor prophet?
No.
You sure about that?
No, he's not minor. Nothing minor about Isaiah. 66 chapters. Some of those guys, they write 3-4 chapters and they get their book in the Bible. 66 chapters. Jeez.
So
we like him, and he has so many great messianic prophecies.
Isaiah does?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, sir. His Hebrew name is Yeshayahu, in case you were wondering. But
I was going to just ask you that.
Yes. Yeshayahu.
So, should we jump right into the...
Into Yeshayahu?
Yeah,
sure.
Into his first reading?
Yeah. Right. He's got, like you mentioned, some of the great ones. A virgin shall be with child. Mm-hmm. People who've been in darkness will see a great light. I mean, we're going to go through those probably in the next few shows.
Right.
As we get close to Christmas. But why don't you read from Isaiah chapter 2, You have the verses
there. Yes, I do. 1-5.
Go ahead.
This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise a sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Ooh.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So this is great. This is, it says there that this is a vision that he has concerning Judah and Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The first verse says it's a vision. So Isaiah actually sees this happening. So he has assurance. He knows that this is actually going to take place because he saw it with his own eyes in his mind, but he saw it happen. It was a vision. And he's talking about the mountains. He's talking about Jerusalem. And again, like we talked about last week, this is kind of an intertwining of Jerusalem as the kingdom and Jesus's kingdom.
Sits on the throne of David.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, he's talking about the Messiah setting up his kingdom. He's talking about what's going to happen in the latter days, which, you know, we just said we've been in for almost 2,000 years. And in the Old Testament, there was a really long wait for the kingdom. I mean, a really long wait from Adam and Eve until Bethlehem. And so it went through all the Old Testament times, all through the Mosaic Law, all through the prophets. But now this is what most people call the final dispensation, because there's not going to be another covenant.
No.
This is the covenant. And this is what Isaiah is seeing. And as you just mentioned, you know, this is, we're looking forward to the second coming.
Right.
They were looking forward to the first coming. They're yeah. waiting for Messiah.
Yeah.
We're waiting for Messiah to come back. And his kingdom is set up as the highest mountain.
Yeah. And yeah, and there's that, you can hear the anticipation in what Isaiah is proclaiming here. Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain mm-hmm. to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had the law.
Yeah.
They knew the laws that God gave on Mount Sinai to Moses.
Yeah.
And so they had the laws to walk in his path, but yet there was this great anticipation. Let us go and climb the mountain of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. You get this feeling like they're all just going toward the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what's happening, because you have here, if you look at this as the messianic kingdom, it says it's drawing all nations toward it. And that mountain's exalted above everything else. You know, this is,
yeah
this is the equivalent of when God had the temple built on the Temple Mount. That was the center of the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally.
Right.
God says, this is where I put my name.
Yeah.
There's no holier place on earth than the Temple Mount. This is where I put my name. And now we have the also the equivalent of that with a heavenly Jerusalem that Jesus rules from, sitting on the throne of David.
Right.
And it draws all nations to itself.
Right.
To the mountain.
Because he says, you know, from Zion shall go forth instruction
mm-hmm.
and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, it reminds me of when we did that show about the woman at the well.
That was a good show.
That was.
We should do that again.
And you know, Jesus gets into the conversation with her about worship
mm-hmm.
and where do we worship at?
Yeah, that's right.
You guys worship at Mount Gerizim.
Right.
That's not the right place.
Mm-hmm.
We worship in Jerusalem, but there will come a day where you're not going to worship on this mountain mm-hmm. because God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right. So you can be in Youngstown, or you can be... You could be in Youngstown.
You can't. Yeah, you can.
You could
yes,
be
you
in
can.
North Canton. You could Berea. Be in Berea.
You could be in Berea.
And you Bereans know who you
yes.
are. You can be...
Morocco.
In Morocco. You can be anywhere worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And this was, you know, that actually goes along with what we've been talking about, because now... the kingdom is different than when David was sitting in his palace looking out over everything that he ruled.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kingdom that includes everyone. And it's drawing nations up the mountain, as it says. You know, it's a city on a hill. You
right.
can't hide it.
Right.
You can't hide the kingdom.
Right.
And if you would have been, you know, at King David's time, if you'd have been in Youngstown, there's, you know, a few Indians there, a few teepees, but you wouldn't have been able to see David's palace.
Not from Youngstown.
No. And you wouldn't have been able to see the temple when it was built, even from Morocco or even from Lebanon. But this kingdom, you're going to be able to see from wherever you are.
Not even on a clear day?
Not even on a clear day.
No,
well, maybe from Lebanon. They used to have helicopter rides. But this kingdom, you're going to see because it's the highest mountain. And nations are going to stream to it. It can't be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be proclaimed openly. No matter where you are, you're going to know about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has, in general, you know, the end time prophecies all say when the fullness of the Gentiles has come into the church, then the end is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And when all the nations have heard the gospel, then the end is going to come. And we don't know where we are along those lines.
Right.
But everybody has heard the gospel. I mean, if you live someplace and you haven't heard the gospel, then that would be pretty unusual. But anyway,
yeah,
it's you know, Jesus spoke openly when he taught. The kingdom is open for everyone to see. The apostles, who were the original ambassadors, and we did a whole series on ambassadors. They were the original ambassadors. They spoke openly. And this kingdom has been set up with a standard. You know, the banners were very, very, very important to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of God's names is the God of the banners, Jehovah Nisse, or Yahweh Nisse, the God of the banners. Because every tribe had a banner set up, and it's in the camp, so that if you were looking for the tribe of Dan, you'd look for the banner, and then you would know where to go. So this kingdom has a standard, which the apostles preached, which is Jesus on the cross is the standard. Then Jesus sitting on the throne is the standard of the kingdom, so that when you're looking for this kingdom, you only go in it through Christ. You don't go in it through any other way. And Isaiah talks about that too. Because, you know, he has 66 chapters, but in chapter 49, he talks about how there's going to be a standard for the people that mm-hmm. they're going to rally around. So just like if you got to the camp, if you got separated from the people, when you got back to the camp, you looked around for where the banners were, so you knew where your people were.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew if you were in the tribe of Dan and you looked, oh, there's Dan's banners over there. So you went there. When you're in this kingdom, you see the banner that everyone is under, who is Jesus the King, and you say, that's where I belong. That's where I'm camped out.
So
it's a standard.
Right. Yeah, you want to be under the right banner.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to the wrong banner.
Yeah. And now the banner of the tribe of Dan doesn't really matter that much. I mean, it's nice if you know you're from the tribe of Dan, but that's kind of a secondary issue now.
Right. Well, yeah, because we're all under the blood of Messiah.
Yeah.
We're all under the blood of Messiah. And, you know, what's coming to me is where the Lord says, I did not speak from some dark place.
Yeah.
Is that Isaiah? No. I'm trying to think where that's at. Maybe it'll come to me, but maybe we can get back to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this, and they're saying, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're called to be children of light. You know, Jesus says, you know, let your light shine before men.
Mm-hmm.
You don't place your light under a bushel basket
mm-hmm.
so that it's hidden.
Right.
You know, but it's set on the top of a hill so that it illuminates the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, last week we were talking about how we are brought into the kingdom by the blood of Messiah, by Christ the King, and we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people that are set apart. We're not to be like the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
wandering in darkness. You know, Jesus says, no follower of mine wanders in the darkness because they'll have the light of life.
Right.
You know, so as the Israelites are anticipating what Isaiah is saying, you know, we see it from not only their perspective, but we have the perspective of that Jesus has already come
mm-hmm.
and he's going to come again. He's mm-hmm. going to return again.
Right. Yeah. So in this idea of the nations going up the mountain, you know, in the scriptures, the nation always refers to Gentiles. The Jews always referred to the Gentiles as the nations. In fact, the word goy can mean people who aren't Jewish, and it can also mean a nation. So the goyim are the non-Jewish people in the world, mm-hmm. but they're also the nations. And many of the Jewish prayers and readings that have to do with the nations, you see the word goyim. And that's interesting because Israel, of course, was a unique nation. They were the only covenant people. No one else had the covenant.
Right.
Our ancestors were pagans. They were worshiping false gods. And we had, you know, our ancestors were a mess going mm-hmm. back, you know, 2,000 years ago. But we were not in the kingdom. We were not in the covenant at that time. Our ancestors, I mean. And so they were a unique covenant people. So they knew they were different than everybody else. So this is why you have this idea of, well, we're here and then there's the nations. Like if a Jewish man married a Gentile woman, which you weren't supposed to do, but if you did, they would say, well, I married somebody from the nations. And everybody would go, oh, you know, you're not supposed to do that, dude. But, you know, they were, the nations meant somebody who was not Jewish. But here you have the nation streaming up the mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's the equivalent of Mount Zion. So what does this mean? And, you know, we kind of went over this when we did Romans that, you know, the spiritual children of Abraham, which are us, you know, we're not physically descended from Abraham, but we're Abraham's spiritual children because Paul writes in Romans that just because you're physically descended from Abraham doesn't make you a spiritual child of Abraham. We as Gentiles that are following Messiah, we are the ultimate spiritual children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. So now the spiritual children of Abraham are joining with the real children of Abraham to make the one new man, all going up the mountain. We'll have more to say about one new man later because yeah. we have something coming up on that you might want to stay tuned in for.
Keep listening.
In another couple of weeks. And, you know, before this, before Messiah came, there were covenant, non-covenant people, clean, unclean people, mm-hmm. circumcised, uncircumcised. And an uncircumcised person wouldn't have been able to go into the inner court of the temple.
No.
You wouldn't have been able to go to the sacrifices that were going on. You wouldn't have been able to go and join people in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you believed what they believed, you were not in the covenant. You right. had to be circumcised first, and you had to go do the stuff. And, you know, you if they had a Seder meal, if you weren't circumcised, you couldn't go to the Seder meal.
And the reason for that is because the covenant, the sign of the covenant was circumcision.
That's right.
You got to look back in Genesis for that.
That's right. But, oh, this is good. Wow, first break already. Anyway, wow. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back after we hear this awesome song.
He has come to bring light into the darkness. He has come bring freedom to the captives. He has come to restore the brokenhearted. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Restorer. the hope. Make ready the people of God. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Let every nation say to Zion, your God reigns. Prepare.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's a pretty cool song.
That's an awesome song.
Remember, go to wilburministries.com and just look, buy all the CDs.
Kind of goes with what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of goes. Kind of fits.
Exactly. Well, Steve's the music minister here, so I don't know what else he's got coming up. But anyway, so now we've got clean and unclean people that are going to be going up the mountain. That are coming into the kingdom.
Uh-oh.
Remember in Acts chapter 10 when the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and all those people, all the circumcised believers say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
All those unclean Gentiles.
All these unclean Gentiles, what are they doing dancing around? And how come they got a charismatic prayer group now?
Why are they singing Roni Roni?
It's supposed to be just for us. Next thing you know, they'll have banners.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah, so... You know, in Ephesians 2:14, Paul talks about how the nations are going to flow into the kingdom. You know, they're going to flow. So that's pretty cool. I mean, this idea of like flowing, you're just going to like move toward it.
That is true.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to whip you until you go, and nobody's going to make you go, or nobody's going to force you into it somehow. But the nations are going to flow into the kingdom. And so all these unclean people who couldn't have gone into the inner courts of the temple, couldn't have worshipped there, are now in this gathering of all the people that are flowing into this kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as you're saying that, what we should look at here or go back to a little bit is that reading from Isaiah.
Yeah.
All nations shall stream toward the Lord's mountain and say that he may instruct us in his ways. You know, so those who did not know the Lord are going to seek God's wisdom, are going to seek his laws and covenants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all those who didn't have, all those who didn't have the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to
stream towards Jerusalem and say, you know, tell us about your God.
Yes.
Show us.
Yes.
Let him instruct us in his ways.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we've talked many times where, you know, we've talked about many times where those who did not seek him will know him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's also in Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done quite a few shows on that. And it's interesting that if you're out there and you're a Jewish believer, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You're a completed covenant person.
Right.
And, you know, send us an email and we'll get together with you. And
amen.
Because we're going to tell you about a new ministry we're going to be starting, which you might be interested in. But, you know, Isaiah points out that Gentiles are also going to be coming. And it isn't going to be, yeah. See, those Gentile moves into your neighborhood, and then everything starts going bad.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're out there and you're a Gentile believer, which is I'm sure 99.999% of you, you're a believer because at some point, an on fire Jewish evangelist went to the place where your ancestors lived and proclaimed the Jewish Messiah. And there you were, not you personally, but there your ancestors were, who had your DNA, and they were sitting in some little town in Greece or Turkey or Italy or Morocco or somewhere, and some Jewish evangelist rolled into town.
By the name of Saul?
By the name of Saul, who was like really annoying, but they...
But really on fire for the Lord.
Yeah, but these people, our ancestors, had no idea who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. If you'd have asked somebody in the middle of Greece, you know, who was Abraham, they'd have said, I don't know, beats me. Does he have a deli somewhere? I don't know. But they didn't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. They didn't know anything about the temple. They didn't know anything about the Torah. But they came to faith in the Jewish Messiah because of a Jewish evangelist. And this is why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they followed the Great Commission.
Right.
And the Great Commission took them out into the known world to proclaim the kingdom. And this is how we all got here. And this is very, very important because people came in streams, just like this is talking about, flowing to Messiah. There are people who didn't even have a clue that they needed a Messiah, because most pagans wouldn't understand that they need a Messiah. But they came because of a Jewish evangelist of one form or another. And in way back in Genesis, in chapter 49, Jacob is blessing his sons, and he says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. So Judah is going to be the branch that Messiah is going to come from, and the scepter is never going to depart. Mm-hmm. From Judah. Scepter's never going to depart from the throne of David. And he's going to have people under, he's going to have law, and he's going to have people under his feet. And when Shiloh's another poetic term for the Messiah, because the ark was at Shiloh for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the King James Version says he's going to gather the people under him,
right,
which is kind of neat too. So all these people, whether they're Jews, whether they're Gentiles, you know, Paul talks about this in Ephesians as the one new man. They're going to all come flowing to the mountain. And, you know, they're going to be flowing like a stream. And it says they're going to go up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, water doesn't flow up the mountain, but this is going to be a flow of people up the mountain.
Exactly.
Because the mountain is where God is. It's the mountain of the Lord. The Jews originally went to the Temple Mount for the pilgrimage feast. You know, we remember of the seven feast days of the Lord, three of them were pilgrimage feasts.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to go to Jerusalem. And if you took my Torah course, you'll know which ones those are. We won't go into that. But everybody went up to Jerusalem. And when you read through the Gospels, it talks about how Jesus and the disciples went up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's at a higher elevation than the rest of the country. And it's a mountain. And the Temple Mount, of course, is the highest part of Jerusalem. So they went up to the temple. In fact, when King David wrote Psalms, and King David was a really good musician. You know, he could play instruments and he could sing.
He was an excellent musician.
Excellent musician.
From what I hear.
And a good singer.
And a good singer.
Yes. Played mostly minor chords, though. That was the only thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't have guitars. He had
very difficult to play that. Minor chords.
Yeah. I know. I can't even stand
harps, especially on a harp.
Yeah. I mean,
he had all those strings.
He had harps, he had keyboards, but he didn't have guitars.
He had all those strings on that harp. You had to hit the right strings.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I still don't get that chord thing. But anyway. But
I'll explain it to you after the show.
I lost my whole train of thought.
All right.
But, you know, he wrote most of the Psalms. Not all of them, but the vast, probably 90, more than 90% of them. There's 150 of them. He wrote probably 140 of them. But the Psalm 121 to 135 are called the Psalms of Ascent. And ascent means, of course, you're going upward. So when you're going up to the temple, you sing the Psalms of Ascent.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just recite them. You didn't just say, give me that Bible so I can read them. Who's got the Psalm scroll? Who's going to do it? So, somebody read this while we're going up the steps. No, they sang them as they went up. And so they were called the Psalms of Ascent. And Psalm 122 is, well, they're all good. But anyway,
yeah,
we might read that one later. But anyway, so everybody had this idea of going up the mountain. So people flowed up the mountain, even though it was uphill, because this is a pilgrimage to where the Lord is. And, you know, it's in our days, we look at it, you know, as the church, we look at it as, you know, the church is like a mountain. The church is built on a rock, rock capital R. And because it is, it's exalted above every other mountain, just like the Temple Mount was exalted above every other mountain because it was the holiest place on earth. So the church is built on a rock. It's the holiest place, the highest place on earth. You know, everybody says, you know, God dwells on high because, of course, he does. And that means heaven. But in this case, it's all about holy mountains. You know, he dwells on holy mountains. He's above the whole rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it says people from all the nations are going to flow to it. So flowing up the mountain.
Exactly. You know, and in Psalm 122, David writes, or David sings.
He was at my home group once singing that.
David?
Yeah, singing that.
I think so. Let's see. He says, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city, walled round about. There the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as it was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There are the thrones of justice, the thrones of the house of David. For the peace of Jerusalem pray, may those who love you prosper. May peace be within your ramparts, prosperity within your towers. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I pray for your good.
Mm. That's one of the Psalms of Ascent.
That's one of the Psalms of Ascent. Peace be with you.
Mm. Yep.
It's a phrase the Lord would say often.
Very often.
Especially after, before his ascension, when he would appear to the disciples and they were a little bit scared.
Exactly.
Peace be with you.
Yes. And interestingly, I think, I haven't checked this out, but I'm pretty sure that that's the only place in the scripture where we're commanded to pray for a certain city.
Mm-hmm.
We're commanded to pray for Jerusalem because it's his city.
Right.
And even to this day, and for you Christians out there, nobody has to tell you the central part in history that the Middle East has. And in current events, the Middle East is always at the top of whatever's going on. And we have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that everything the Israeli government does is right. That doesn't mean that what every Jewish person there does is right, mm-hmm. but we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Exactly.
So we have to take that seriously.
Right, we do.
As a command.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, if we look at the book of Romans that goes with these readings for today,
mm-hmm.
here's the anticipation that we as believers today should have for the second coming. Paul writes, and this is Romans 13, verse 11. You know the time it is, the hour now, for you to awake from sleep. So he says, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep.
Mm.
For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced and the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, how many...
That really applies to our times.
Yeah. How many of us have fallen asleep?
Yeah.
We're waiting for the Lord and we doze off. You know, and when Jesus said, you know, he took his disciples with him into the garden and they couldn't stay awake.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't stay awake because their flesh, they weren't strong spiritually.
Right.
Their flesh overtook them.
Right.
And today in our culture, we have to awake from our sleep because there's things that are going on in our world that if we're asleep and we're not sober, we too are going to be overtaken.
Mm-hmm.
And we are ambassadors of the King.
Yes.
And our light is to be placed on that hill to be a light to the nations.
Yes.
So everybody's called to that, not just, you know, those who have radio shows or mm-hmm. those who are preaching a church or, mm-hmm. or a priest or a pastor, but every believer, every mm-hmm. disciple of the Lord, every baptized, you know, baptism is a sign of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus ratified the new covenant in his own blood. And we who are in that new covenant, we are the ones who take the message of salvation out to the world,
mm-hmm.
out into the darkness.
Right.
The light has shone into the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of work to do for us who profess to be disciples of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
as believers of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know that we've talked many times on the show about how to say that I'm a Christian simply doesn't mean that. Well, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm saved. And I'm going to heaven. That's wonderful. No, to be a believer, to call yourself a Christian, means that you share
mm-hmm.
in the same anointing that came upon Jesus in the Jordan. You share in the anointing to raise the dead, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, set captives free.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are functioning in that capacity as believers with faith, we would transform our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We would transform our world.
Absolutely. And as we said during the Ambassador series, you know, we've taken the Marines down from the door. We've taken the barricades mm-hmm. away, taken the fences down. Now we're just letting the world come into the church.
Right.
And now the church is becoming more like the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world is becoming less and less and less and less right. like the church.
Right.
But now we're like, well, you know, as long as you're nice, as long as everybody's happy, as long as we can get together here and just kind of hang mm-hmm. out, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to get anybody upset. So we'll just come here on Sunday morning and we'll listen to some music and
right.
we'll talk and then we'll go out to brunch.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, within the church, within the body of believers, there's a lot of division because mm-hmm. There's a lot of division because of different beliefs, different doctrines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I don't believe what you said is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you find that?
Yeah.
And a lot of it, you know, a number of things are out of somebody said it who's another denomination. So I'm not from that camp, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to believe them.
Yeah.
And yet we have, you know, Jesus died to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom, and now all of us Gentiles are fighting amongst ourselves.
Exactly.
Going, no, you can't.
The fishermen are all fighting with each other.
Yeah. Those are my fish. No, those are my fish.
Yeah. Then there's
God can't use your net.
Yeah.
What do you mean he can't use my net? You know, so.
Why do you have a blue boat and we have a red boat?
Yeah. So a lot of the things that we bicker about within the body
mm-hmm.
are senseless.
Yes, and the fish and are getting away.
And as Paul says, be careful that you go on biting yourselves,
mm-hmm.
you'll devour yourselves.
That's right.
Exactly what we are doing as a body of Christ.
That's
we are
right.
devouring ourselves.
Exactly.
And Satan doesn't have to work too hard to do that.
That's right. Oh yeah, he loves all the bickering.
Yeah. And so Jesus, as we're in the season of Advent and we're approaching, you know, recognizing the birth of Christ. There's people that say, well, we shouldn't have you in Christmas because it wasn't that day.
Yeah.
Well, when do you want to celebrate it?
Yeah.
Or do you even celebrate it?
Yeah.
Do you believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Do you celebrate? Do you remember his birth as a believer? Or do you just want to fight about it?
I think the God-man being born is a pretty important thing to
consider. It's a very important thing. And I know we've talked about that as well on, you know, the reasoning for placing it at the winter solstice is because that's when light,
right,
gradually, the daylight right. increased.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ is the light coming into the darkness.
Ooh, this is perfect.
This is a really good song. Ooh.
All right, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You'll find a lot of teachings there, Bible studies, and learn about some podcasts. We'll be right back.
Run into this peaceful kingdom. Shouting, they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord.
Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Wash us with the spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Arise and shake the earth so mightily, send your glory all across the land, that everything that's proud to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, till the blood of his attire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we get to Matthew 24, I just want to say one more thing about this mountain thing. And, you know, he talks about the house of Jacob, you know, the house of the God of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is important because even though it didn't mean much to the Romans and the Greeks and the Turks and all those people, it meant a lot because God was fulfilling his promise to the patriarchs. He promised them that the whole earth would be blessed through Abraham, and this has happened.
How does Jacob fit into this?
Well, he's Abraham's grandson.
He is.
Yes.
And so Abraham,
he is the promise. He's the child of promise. Not that Esau guy, but
so
Jacob.
There was Abraham, there was Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Jacob.
And then Judah became the child of promise.
Jacob became Israel.
Right.
So that's exactly. The tie-in.
That's the tie-in.
And then
So the promise to the patriarchs is fulfilled. And it says, you know, when we go to the mountain, we learn his ways. So like you said before, when we were talking about the woman at the well, can we do that show again sometime?
I think so.
We're taught by word and we're taught by spirit. You know, that's how we learn his ways, the spirit and the word. And, you know, he reveals himself through his word and through the spirit as we do that. As we go up the mountain, we learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the word always goes forth from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the center. Jerusalem is the center. It's the holy city. And everything goes from there. So then he adds, well, you know, the house of Jacob needs to walk in the light. And, you know, Messianic Jews, as they talk to their non-believing Jewish brothers, sisters, parents, cousins, friends,
right?
You know, this is a really important thing. You know, there's a Joel Chernow song that we didn't play about, you know, we need to walk, the house of Jacob needs to walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
because they missed the light of Messiah, even though the promise was for them, they missed the light of Messiah.
So the house of Jacob would be the 12 sons of Jacob?
Yes.
The 12 tribes of Israel?
All the descendants of them would be the covenant people. It's Israel in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And remember, we talked in Romans about how the Gentiles came to faith to provoke Israel to jealousy.
Right.
Ooh, we could sing Baruch Adonai. I love that song. But anyway, no, let's not do that. So, you know, they were supposed to be a light to the nations, but, you know, they kind of fell down on that mm-hmm. when it came to Messiah's time. So it fulfills the promises to Jacob.
Yeah.
You should read Matthew 24 before we run out of time.
Yeah, let's read Matthew 24. That, I mean, the liturgy is very important. That's why I was prodding you about that. So, the Gospel of Matthew says, Jesus said to his disciples, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come.
Yeah. Mm. When Noah was going to go into the ark, people were getting married, given in marriage. They were going to Denny's for breakfast. They were going to Starbucks to have coffee. They were going to work. They were talking to their kids. They were playing mm-hmm. baseball. All these things were going on, and then it started raining. So Jesus says, it's going to be just like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Just before he comes back, people are going to be getting married. People are going to be given in marriage. People are going to be eating at Denny's. People are going to be eating Starbucks.
Busy.
People are going to be doing a radio show. Mm-hmm. People are going to be going to work. And then all of a sudden, he's going to come.
Mm. Mm. One of us is going to be left here.
Oh, at the, radio, at the radio studio?
Yeah, we're doing a show. I know it.
Oh, boy.
So we better be prepared.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to make light of it. You know, if you look at our world today, I mean, people are so consumed with busy things.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming and going. And it's almost, you know, it's exhausting, really, is what it is. But people don't have that sense of urgency about planning their, having their hearts and their homes ready mm-hmm. to meet the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is raising your children important? Is having a job important? Yeah, those things are all important. But when it consumes you so that you don't have time to even mm-hmm. focus on mm-hmm. your eternal destination in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, and who you are as a child of God, priorities are important.
Yeah.
And if priorities are out of place or out of order, mm-hmm. then our lives are out of order. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that other reading from Matthew a few shows ago, where, you know, the master closes the door to the house and people are outside going, hello?
Can we come
you
in?
You forgot about us. Hey, wait a minute. You forgot about us. He says, I don't know who you guys
are.
You know, and unfortunately, those people that are excluded from this kingdom, from this group of people flowing up the mountain, are going to look into the house and says they're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the patriarchs and all the prophets all in there having dinner. So in other words, they're going to see all the people that have been saved, they're having dinner.
Yeah.
And they're going to be excluded. Because, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, the world being busy and the world being under demonic control and so forth. Everyone is so busy with their life that they think that, oh, well, you know, I'll worry about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the later may not happen.
Yeah.
The later may be today. Mm-hmm. The later may be 5 minutes from now.
Right.
We don't know when the later is going to be.
We don't know.
And you may be excluded from the house.
And that's why Jesus himself says, so you too must also be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the season of Advent, part of it, is all about,
mm-hmm.
is living in that expectation of the second coming.
Yeah.
Of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
that we're prepared, and we're either going to hear one phrase or the other, depart from me, for I did not know you, or well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd rather hear the latter.
Yeah. And as disciples and ambassadors, you know, as we said a couple of shows ago, we're not going to be graded by how well we did. Remember that, but we're going to be, what's important is that we're willing to do it, and that we're willing to present the gospel and proclaim the kingdom.
How faithful we are to That's what right. God's called us to do. That's we're right. not going to be perfect.
That's right.
We're going to, you know, I mean, we're going to fall. We're human. But we have to go to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and get on with the work that he's asked us to do.
Mm-hmm. And we should be so consumed by that, that even though we don't particularly like somebody, even though we may not even want to be near that person, we should say we need to tell that person the gospel because we don't want them to end up in hell.
Mm-hmm. Right. Their soul should matter that much to us, Ooh. As much as it mattered to Christ,
wow.
who laid down his life for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Well, that's We're the end done. Of the show.
Yeah. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that during this Advent season, you would make ready your heart and make ready your home and prepare a place for the Lord. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.